Looks like we've got more oil than we thought we did, and that matters beyond the gas pump.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a few minutes, the government tells us how much oil the U.S. has on hand. It looks like inventories will be up, and that affects not just gas prices, but the whole economy. We'll tell you why in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? The Dow Industrials are down 59 points. That's about 0.5%. They stand at 10,346. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are both down just under 0.5%. Target says sales were up in the last 3 months, but not up enough for investors. The stock is down a little over 1%. And the same deal with Tractor King John Deere. John Deere said this morning profits grew by almost half, but shares are down by about 1.5%. Let's say good morning to our Wednesday regular Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live from Washington, D.C. Hiya, Richard.
Good morning.
This government report on oil inventories comes out in a few minutes, but the oil industry put up some numbers yesterday that suggest stockpiles are way up, and I take it that was a surprise?
You know, it was. Usually this time of year, after the summer's already played out, we start to see inventories being drawn down as distributors are working off the buildup ahead of the driving season and are starting to prepare for leaner demand over the winter months.
Okay, and what do you think that extra supply will do first to gas prices? And then, Richard, why does it matter beyond that?
Well, the implication for gas prices is obviously downward, but the bigger implication really is that we have really huge stockpiles of petroleum product in America today. And in economic terms, it was accumulating those inventories or importing tremendous amounts of petroleum during the second quarter that most was responsible for the explosive growth in the U.S. trade deficit. But with stockpiles still abundant and as yet no real threat to supplies, that shouldn't continue. So that we should really think of that as a temporary event and not something that persists throughout the remainder of the year.
Yeah, when that we just have a few more seconds here, Richard. When that trade deficit came out, you and I were talking, wow, this is really going to shrink growth. Maybe it wasn't quite as bad as first looked.
Well, that's right. I mean, it did. It subtracted almost about 2.5 percentage points from GDP growth during the second quarter, huge restraint on growth. But we shouldn't see that going forward because, again, petroleum stockpiles are so high in the U.S., they're not getting leaner. And there's simply, in all likelihood, precautionary demand, people bringing in product, worried about the BP Gulf spill and the implications that might have.
Okay. Very good. Richard DeKayser, Woodley Park Research. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The world's biggest mining companies made a hostile bid for the world's biggest fertilizer producer. Mining giant BHP Billiton has offered $40 billion for the Potash Corporation of Canada. The fertilizer firm has rejected the bid. It is a massive takeover attempt, and it has to do with the rising cost of commodities and food. Joining us from London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Hello.
Hello, Bill.
This mining company, BHP Billiton, is still pressing ahead with its rejected bid. Why are they so interested?
BHP, an Australian company, by the way, listed in London, is stuffed with cash. It's done very well out of the boom in mineral prices, largely thanks to Chinese demand, and it wants to diversify. There is a chance that China, BHP's biggest customer, could slow down. So BHP wants to diversify a bit away from industrial minerals into other products.
And why this product? Why this fertilizer company, Potash? And by the way, Stephen, what is Potash?
Yes, a lot of people asking the same question. It's a kind of salt. It's dug out of the ground, so it's a natural product for BHP, and it's a fertilizer. It's becoming increasingly obvious that the world needs to grow more food, so it'll need more fertilizer. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment. He says this takeover could be an insurance policy for BHP, especially in its most important market.
China's burgeoning economy, even if it does slow down, will still have to feed its growing population. And its population is increasingly now looking towards not only just ordinary agriculture, but beef production as well. And all of this means demand for more fertilizers.
The head of the target company, Potash Corporation of Canada, says he reckons there'll be 10% more demand next year. He's rejected BHP's bid. Some analysts say BHP may have to increase its offer from $40 to $60 billion.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
The head of Google made a startling recommendation recently. He said people should be able to change their names to erase the embarrassment of their teenage online indiscretions. But Janet Babin tells us in a digital society, there are no do-overs.
It took me a while to write this story. First, I had to review my online persona. All clear. But if there were something compromising out there, who wouldn't want to erase the indiscretion of youth? Maybe Google CEO Eric Schmidt is right. We should all get new names when we get our first real job. Mark Rotenberg at the Electronic Privacy Information Center says that's an interesting position for Schmidt, since it's Google that stands to gain from our lost privacy.
His solution that people should have to change their names because his company is collecting and distributing too much personal information seems particularly unfair.
Schmidt's suggestion probably wouldn't work anyway. Software developer Matt Pizzamenti created an online tool to manage Facebook's privacy settings.
It's kind of a non-solution, right? I'm sure your new name would be just as easily linked to your old name, and your friends still know who you are.
And so do your enemies. In a digital society, we may not be able to forget, but Pizzamenti suggests we could forgive. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, Britain's National Tourism Agency says visitors spend more than $25 billion a year there, and welcoming them is, quote, absolutely vital to our economy. With that in mind, the agency has released a new etiquette guide to the treatment of foreigners. Don't wink at someone from Hong Kong, says the guide, and don't ask a Brazilian personal questions or snap your fingers around a Belgian. People from India don't appreciate being touched, while a smiling Japanese person is not necessarily happy. And never call a Canadian an American. That insults them. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.